delicious crispy smell after the race. It's not your tailpipe. It's a little bit of yay.
And then break.
Shake and bake.
And here we go.
Delightful. We are going.
Well, hi there.
Welcome again to yet another wonderful podcast. I am Genghis. This here is the Duke.
Hello.
That is him. It's wonderful. We're going to touch a serious subject today. You know, one that really touches the heart, minds, and souls of many around us. Steroids in team sport.
Yes.
And because of the UFC, I'm quite a big UFC fan.
Mm-hmm.
I followed it for many, many years. And there's been a lot about TRT, which is testosterone replacement therapy, which has been going on. And there's a certain man, Vitor Belfort, who has become the face of TRT, basically. And now the Nevada State Athletic Commission, which is obviously ruled most of their fights because they mainly fight in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
That has now put a ban on therapeutic use exemptions for testosterone replacement therapy, which quite a few fighters use. So this is quite big news. It's been going on for a sort of week, maybe. This whole sort of debate has been going on for years, really.
Yeah.
But now we've seen the ban come in, and the Brazilian Athletic Commission, I forget what that's actually called, but it's very strange.
Yeah.
They've also banned the use of TRT, and we've seen quite a few fighters now drop away. Vitor, being the face of it, was due to fight in Vegas in May, I think it was. We'll call him Smitor from now on. Old Smitor has now dropped out of that fight, saying it has nothing to do with the TRT, but it does, because of it's all to see whether he can still compete without it.
Yeah.
And it's a very confusing subject, quite technical subject in some places. And it's basically, quite a lot of fighters are having to at least consider retiring now, because if you start using testosterone therapy, even like once, it can completely fuck up your body's ability to produce its own testosterone.
Right.
So therefore you actually need it because you've used it once.
Right, okay.
It just carries on going and going and going. So these people who've been using it for years, their bodies might not actually be able to make testosterone at all.
Right.
It's a very serious sort of thing to do with your body. You need testosterone.
Yeah,
you have
to
be able to use testosterone.
Yeah.
And it's got a bit fucked, really, for quite a few of them.
Yeah.
There's a few main ones dropped out. Talking about retirement very seriously. Chael Sonnen being one of them. He's using it. Dan Henderson, luckily, is at the end of his career. He will be the last person allowed to use TRT before the ban comes in.
Yeah.
And, it's all going a bit tits, really. This is just, obviously, UFC, and steroids go on throughout all sports and stuff like drug tests and all that. We know that there are ways around them, little cheaty ways.
Is it a good thing for the sport, do you think?
I think it is a good thing for the sport. It's either a matter of let everyone use it or don't let anyone use it.
Yeah.
And where some people can be attributed, like Smitor, to winning loads of the fights because they're using testosterone.
Mm.
And he has had quite a few tests that he's brushing under the rug that he's failed.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, but hasn't come out. So it will be good for the sport because then obviously it's on a much more, fairer landscape then.
Yeah.
No one can sort of moan or use that as an excuse and be like, oh, he only beat me because he was using testosterone, which is probably the case.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll be a good thing overall.
It sort of, it wipes that out of it, doesn't it? Like, it wipes that excuse out, I suppose.
It does wipe the slate completely clean.
Yeah.
And, of course, it will maybe lead to more injuries and stuff like that because testosterone is mainly used. It helps build muscle mass as it is a steroid, but it also helps recovery by an amazing amount.
Yeah,
you get a niggly knee. That's probably when you can't really kick or anything. You can't really run.
Yeah,
that'd be over in a week rather than say like three or four weeks,
yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, obviously, I haven't watched UFC a lot, but I've seen that, obviously.
Yeah.
You post a lot about what's going on in the UFC. And obviously, the infamous, you know, story of steroid use, which I think is brought to the public eye in a lot of sports.
Yeah.
Was obviously wrestler Chris Benoit killing his wife and kids before hanging himself. And he's dubbed as Roy's Rage.
Give me the fucking right, motherfucker! Yeah,
and you know, let's be honest, I mean, from wrestling years ago, I think when everyone used to watch it popular in the days of Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior.
Yes.
You know, every wrestling company in America for sure had steroids
running. Oh, they had steroids fucking running left, right, center. You see the veins on some people.
Yeah. You know, fucking Scott Steiner's a pure example of that. Man is eating them on his fucking cornflakes. But obviously when that happens, I can only put this in wrestling terms, but Vince McMahon was basically put under a fucking spotlight because it's like, well,
yeah,
how many of your superstars are on steroids? And it's, you know, they've now bought in, since this has happened, they've bought in drug testing, three strike policy. If you fail three times, you're out.
Yeah.
The problem with the wellness policy is basically the first one is a bit of a don't take it.
Yeah.
The second one is a 30-day suspension.
Yeah.
And then obviously the third one, termination of your contract.
Yeah.
I suppose you've got to sort of be careful because these people are your breadwinners, they're making you money and they're making you a millionaire, the same sort of situation sort of Dana White is in.
Yes.
Vitor Belfort from years ago, I mean, like when I watched it with you and Anstey, whenever I used to come see you in the match, well,
he was
a pretty big name in the sport, and I think he probably still has that drawability as a name.
He does, yeah, especially lately because he's been knocking everyone out.
Mm.
Think of that what you will, in terms of testosterone and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, again, it is, can he keep them? But they've got rid of Beetle before. They let him go of his contract years ago. Mm. He failed a drugs test at Pride, which was the Japanese MMA company.
Mm.
And, that's when he started fighting over here.
Yeah.
In, Cage Rage.
Yeah.
And then he eventually got back to UFC because he was a known steroid cheat because of that.
Yeah.
And, I think the testing and stuff was a bit more lax over here.
Mm.
So it wasn't such a big deal
for
him to fight.
Yeah.
But more and more names come out now, especially that they put the ban on it. They're using TRT that you never knew beforehand.
Mm.
And of course it is a very dangerous thing because like say you use it once, you're using it for life.
Yeah.
You've fucked your body completely.
Mm.
It's also there for people who have used steroids before, other steroids. They've had a massive testosterone dump and they can't produce it anymore. So they have to use testosterone.
Yeah.
In order to do, well, just to survive, really.
Do you think, like, steroid use, per se, in a lot of, you know, let's say real sports, it's a lot of, like the Asian, South American fighters that tend to be more inclined to use it as opposed to the American? Not obviously Americans use it, you can't, let's not say that, but, like, obviously, you look at Brazilians in general, fighters in whatever fucking sport, they're all, for small people, they're all very jacked.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if quite a lot of them do use it, but it just wouldn't surprise me in general if probably at least 50% of at least the UFC's roster, probably say Bellator or any other promotion, are using some form of some sort of PED.
Mm.
But It's obviously to be seen, but you're only hearing names because obviously people are now moaning about the ban and what they're going to have to do with their careers. Some people are just going to have to stop fighting, pure and simple, because they can't survive without it.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, if you can't fight without using it, you shouldn't be fighting anyway, really.
And, you know, I mean, the other thing with, like, you know, obviously your steroid abuse, another big one, I suppose, is for years there was always the talk in boxing. Again, I'm not a massive fan of boxing, but I'll keep up.
Yeah.
Of the Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather dream match.
Yeah.
Looks like it will never happen.
Oh,
especially after Pacquiao got knocked. Did Pacquiao get knocked?
Pacquiao's lost a few.
Yeah.
No,
so
no way will.
So the draw has pretty much, like, the draw for that fight has pretty much gone with that. But wasn't that a case of Floyd Mayweather was like, well, I want you?
It wasn't so much he wanted him to be tested. It was he wanted to be tested quite a few times during fight week, which obviously would then drain him and stuff like that. But there's no real doubt in my mind that someone like Pacquiao is not using something. Simply because of it's hard to be a champion in 8 weight classes, let alone be in 8 weight classes. As being a skinny little Filipino.
Yeah.
You know, and getting up to the size that he needs to go, because he's only moving up, he's not moving down really.
Yeah.
He just went up. I find that pretty hard to believe that he's not using something. Obviously, you had Lance Armstrong sort of come out, fucking hell, some of the stuff that he was doing was just mental. He was having blood transfusions on the coach between races.
Yeah, crazy.
That's ridiculous. But again, something like high impact sports, like cycling, boxing, well, most combat sports.
Yeah.
The use of something is probably vast among the competitors, because it's hard to keep up that sort of physicality for the amount of time that amount of time they fight or they ride without getting severely injured, without using something.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's
like, I mean, again, I sort of can go back to the Chris Benoit thing. Obviously, that really, like, as a wrestling fan, that really fucking blew up, like, in the industry on, like, a complete global scale, because it was mainstream. You know, at the end of the day, it was someone who's killed his kids and his wife. He's a wrestler. He's on steroids.
Yeah.
Oh, all wrestlers look like they're on steroids. And, you know, let's you know, fucking say it how it is. A lot of them would. I definitely are.
Yeah, of course they are.
Depending on what promotion you're in, because obviously now, you know, Vince McMahon can't really rub his nose with fucking it too much. There's obviously a couple of people in there that I think take something, but then, you know, you look at Lesnar, for example.
Yeah.
I think maybe when he was younger, he might have taken something, but I'm sure if he got through UFC and he's, you know, the WWE now, he's had to.
Yeah. I think he's
just a genuine freak.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that he had used anything.
Nah.
Because he still looked, I say normal. He looked normal for what he was.
Yeah, he wasn't like six pack or anything. Like, he was just a rugged.
He was a tank.
Yeah.
And he gave good competition in MMA. And to do what he'd done, you know, fair play, he's a legitimate fighter, and he was always a bit of a legend just because of who he is and, you know, the size of him and stuff like that. And he competed hard, but he lost a couple of times. He got his fucking ass kicked, but he did all that while he was sick.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
which is the only reason why he went back to professional wrestling.
Yeah. I think the thing is as well, like, as I say, like, professional wrestling, you know, for example, he's fighting Taker at Mania, which he'll lose, but the difference between losing to Undertaker, who's a household name in that sport, as opposed to getting your ass kicked by Shane Carwin, who at the time no one had really heard of.
He wasn't anything really. Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, not necessarily for his ego, because I think he knew what he was getting into. He would have signed up for UFC if he didn't realise, oh, do you know what? I'm actually going to get punched in the face here. I'm sure he knew what he was into, but at the end of the day, I think his name alone got him the quick shot to the title.
Well, yeah, he had one MMA fight before he signed with the UFC. Signed with them, lost to Frank Mir. He dominated most of the fight. He lost by submission.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
It was a stupid submission to get caught. He said afterwards he knew that he was coming. He just fucked up.
It was naive, wasn't it? Yeah. I can remember that fight because it was me, you and Anstey, and I think a couple of others. We all wanted to watch it because it was like, I wonder what he's actually going to be like.
Yeah.
And he flew out the fucking blocks, didn't he? Took him down within like 3-4 seconds.
He tanked him straight away.
And at that point, I was like, fucking hell, he looks a lot better than what I was actually genuinely expecting from him. And obviously, like, that whole fight, he beat the fuck out of him and then got caught. And then they had their rematch, didn't they? Which, you know, fucking let. Yeah, I love Lesnar, man. He's a legend.
I love him as well. He went on a big title run. He had the title for, like, I can't even remember how many fights now, actually. And then Cain Velasquez came along and just destroyed him. He absolutely destroyed him. And this is where I think you know that he wasn't on anything, because he got fucking legitimately just outdone, completely outdone. I don't think Cain Velasquez is on anything. He seems like a proper natural talent. He's a hard worker who is tough.
Yeah.
He himself has lost once, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, he beat the shit out of Lesnar. He won that fair and fucking square. There's no doubt about it. And I think if Lesnar was on anything, he'd be the most dominant fucking thing.
Oh, he'd still be there. If he earned a paycheck, he'd be, yeah. No, definitely. I mean, you know, again, I can remember, can't think who it was. It was BJ Penn against someone. This is a few years back. When we used to watch it. And the fella he fought, I think, was a champion and had the title stripped off him because of drug use. I can't remember. I might be making this up. He was quite a little dude, and he, you know, you could tell he was on steroids, but he was fucking tiny, and obviously to be a lightweight and have the build he had.
Yeah.
I can't think of his fucking name. You know, if Anthony was here, he'd name him straight away.
I can't remember an incident, but again, this is maybe because there was a couple of years I couldn't watch it because of, it was on ESPN.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, again, like the whole drug use, I think it's sort of the whole bodybuilding craze, I think, from the 90s through to now in any sport.
Yeah.
It's not so much what you can do, it's the look you have with it.
Exactly. And so like Mr. Universes and all that, these big bodybuilding competitions, steroids, they have them all the time. There's no rules as far as I know or regulations against them. All they want is the look. They want the six pack. They want the fucking Bruce Lee muscles down the side. Yeah. Which Tony, he had like about 10 different six packs on his stomach. It was ridiculous. They want this, and so of course they use them. They build muscles any way they fucking can.
Yeah,
because that's what it's about.
Yeah, I mean as I say, for the UFC, I think it's a fucking blinding idea to take it away from the sport. Because the thing with UFC as well, like when UFC first started out, you know, you didn't have people coming in trunks. You had, you know, fucking like karate out.
Yeah, people were wearing the geese. They, one fucker, I forget his name, had a boxing glove. Yeah. And that was it.
And it, you know, it was a very brutal alternative to what gimmicky WWE was at the time, which was about 93, 94. Yeah. And now, UFC is a franchise. It's exploded worldwide, you know, like fucking 10 years ago, you never heard about people, you know, doing the Thai boxing and stuff like that. No. It's actually become a bit of a popular thing now.
It has become a legitimate sport because you're getting people who are now coming through who purely trained from when they were young, MMA, which is mixed martial arts for people who don't know.
Yeah.
They purely trained MMA. Well, the older sort of generation of fighters, they had to train. Like, they'd start with Muay Thai.
Whatever.
They'd have to suddenly learn wrestling or jiu-jitsu, or Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but do boxing as well. Well, now there are classes that just purely do MMA, which just takes care of everything. So you can be a well-rounded fighter from a young age.
Yeah.
While everyone else had to sort of do one thing and then go, oh, fuck it, I want to do this. But now I've got to learn everything else.
Don't they, in the cage? Yeah. Like, you know, you had, obviously, BJ Penn was pretty good at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
He was very good at BJJ.
But yeah, that's what I mean. It's sort of like, from when I watched it, it was you had one that had their specialty and obviously knew everything else, but you could tell what their strong points were, obviously. And as you say, now from a young age, I mean, fucking, I haven't gone there in ages, but when I went to Rhino's gym for a few months, very sporadically, by the way, but they used to every Tuesday have a mixed martial arts class. And, you know, the other thing as well, I mean, again, I can sort of, I can relate to it in a wrestling term. I guarantee to become a wrestler when you went into an independent scene, you had steroids thrown at you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's no secret in the late 90s, there was a big bodybuilder fetish.
Yeah.
With professional wrestling in both companies that were, all three companies that were about at the time. Now, you know, you had big guys, you know, but, they're big guys, but you can tell that sort of protein shake.
It's a natural muscle. They've just gone to the gym and they've just worked their asses off.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they've done. I don't know. Rock maybe might have. But then I don't know if he would have got steroids. I think he's just fucking.
He just, like, he just gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah. If you look at him when he left before.
Yeah.
Movies, he was quite natural looking big.
Yeah.
Like, he was big, but he was natural looking.
Now it's just a muscle.
Yeah, it's fucking huge, man.
It's ridiculous.
You know, again, like fucking obviously he'd done the film Pain and Gain, which, you know.
I still haven't seen that yet.
Definitely worth a watch. Yeah, and that's a lot of, you know, that's a true story based on like a couple of bodybuilders
ripping
someone off, and obviously The Rock's in it with Mark Wahlberg. You see, you know, you see what it's like in the gyms with fucking steroids and stuff like that. Like, I think for a sport in general nowadays, you've kind of got to get part, like, you do need that level playing field, I think,
for it
to keep interesting. I mean, I haven't watched UFC for fucking years, and it's not because I don't enjoy it, because I did.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I never had ESPN, I don't have anything since 12. Really. Yeah. I've just never really kept up with it, unless I see you or Anston.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Obviously, I've always kept up with wrestling, because it's always on channels that I'm accessible to, and I think it's just a little addiction that I've had since I was a kid, and it never stopped.
Yeah.
But I think for the sport in general, the way UFC is going, it's becoming a bit more global now, as opposed to like your little, you know, your little fucking hardcore fan.
Yeah.
That, like, MMA. I think now it's just becoming fucking.
Well, this is the thing, because what I would like to eventually see is the UFC not become a monopoly and become an actual regulatory body in itself, in a way that boxing has, like WBO, WBA, all these sort of other sort of associations and all that. I would like to see UFC become one of those, and they need to be regulating these drugs now, because it's expanding so quickly. That could happen in 15 years.
Yeah.
And it could just, MMA becoming an actual sport rather than people going, oh, do you train UFC?
Yeah.
UFC is not the sport. No. MMA is the sport. UFC is a company.
Yeah.
And I would like to see them become a functioning body. And yes, they need to show that they can regulate drugs. I mean, there's been things as well lately with weed and stuff like that going on through them, which, and they're being severely punished for it, which, of course, you can make the argument, weed wouldn't really help you, it just helped you relax afterwards.
I think that's it.
But it's still illegal.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, like, because I remember, again, put this to wrestling, Rob Van Dam won his first title in WWE, like his first world title.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, he got busted with Sabu, with a shed load of fucking... weed, and he's done a podcast with Jericho. I haven't listened to it yet, but it actually discusses about the legalising of cannabis. I know some states in America, I think, have got it legal. And it's basically, he said, like, it's sort of with the pain that you have to go through taking bumps, and I'm sure with UFC it's the same, when you get smacked in the face, it's still going to hurt a few times.
Oh, yeah, of course.
When you're repeatedly smacked in the face, you know, the pain will stay with you, you know. And it's just one of them. It takes the pain away, and it relaxes you. It sort of
it lets your muscles almost naturally relax.
I'm not obviously. I don't smoke it. I did years ago, and fucking, it's one of them. I reckon it takes your adrenaline down.
Yeah, it would chill you out. It would probably let you get a decent night's sleep.
You know, if you look at any situation in life, like even if you have an argument with someone, there's that build up of adrenaline, and afterwards you're still there, and you know, you're rushing, and I suppose that the whole marijuana, weed, whatever you call it, the people call it, fucking knows a different thing, but that is their release of that to just bring them down to a level, maybe. But as you say, it's still an illegal drug, and it's like,
you know. I mean, if it's fighting, if there's an event in a state that is legal, because like Colorado's legal, California's legal, I think it should just be allowed, because it's no different to going on. Got a little bit of alcohol in the system.
Yeah.
It's no real difference. But I suppose regulatory commissions cannot condone any sort of drug use or anything like that. But I don't see the problem with weed. I don't think it gives you an advantage.
Nah.
In any way.
No, it's not a performance enhancing drug. The only thing I would say with weed, and I think you could probably agree with it, itself, I'm sure anyone that does it would agree, it does warp your mind eventually. It gets you, not you know, not to the point that you're fucking seeing illusions and
it's
stuff.
It's not fucking Hollyoaks, where everyone who smokes weed is like, oh my god, they're after me, everyone's after me, the fucking panda's coming out the ceiling.
But you do get to that point where suddenly social skills have gone, and you do want to just sit on your own, you want to be left to it. And to be honest, I'm glad I gave it up.
Me too.
I didn't really enjoy it towards the end.
No, I was becoming way into myself in the end. It was annoying.
This could be another thing as well, like with, you know, obviously the drug use in, you know, UFC, the TRT and stuff like that. The problem I think you have in America, is it's not country law, it's state laws.
Yeah, exactly.
So fucking that is like over here, obviously the law is the law.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter where in the country you are. Yeah,
Kent has legalization of weed while
Essex is illegal.
Yeah,
it's but in America it is that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, state by state.
That's what I think the problem comes with in the sports in America is it's like, okay, you know, like I think Rob Van Dam did say it's sort of like, well, I can, you know, I can do whatever yeah. in Florida and I can have an easy time, you know. Whereas with WWE, because he's fucking, you travel every state, you travel the fucking globe. They work 320 days a year and only spend a few days home with their family. They really fucking go for it. And that's why, you know, I think you get a lot, like, obviously, the crossovers at the moment, you're hearing about CM Punk, who walked out of WWE, they're talking of him having MMA fights. I don't think he'll do well.
I don't think he'll just go through with it.
But it's, again, it's sort of like, he doesn't take anything, you know, he's got a whole straight edge thing, which is another story for another day, but he doesn't take anything.
Nonsense.
He doesn't take anything, basically. Yeah. So, to get into a cage with someone who might do something, he'll get the floor wiped with him.
Yeah, more than likely.
But yeah, as you say, I think, you know, UFC to become similar to like WBO, WBA, IBF, and just to be its own standing force.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for mixed martial arts as a sport. It's the same way, you know, I can complain watching wrestling that it's boring now, and, you know, I genuinely do think it, and I do miss it having competition. But,
yeah.
For example, like WWE as a sport is now wiped out on the main stage of professional wrestling, use of steroids.
Yeah.
It's wiped it out. The people that did use it, have all gone, they're all working in different companies. You could look at them on the telly, and I guarantee a lot of people would be like, no, someone's still on steroids. But to have, for the fact that they've had the spotlight shine to them because of the Chris Benoit thing, they have to keep their noses clean.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you're going to lose all those millions that you've wanted to get.
As that sport is taking this competition out, they've got a thing that's just come out. It's called WWE Network, and it's not available in England, but it is in America. And it's basically got video archive. It's fucking, it's something for a sport that's so unique. And it's got a back catalogue of over like 100,000 hours. If you're a fan, that's like everyone's wet dream. It'd be like UFC bringing out a UFC network.
Oh, they have, basically. Yeah. It's the UFC Fight Pass, which is pretty much the same thing. You get quite a lot of the events on there and stuff like that. But I don't want to pay $10 a month.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only lot, I mean, I probably would get WWE Network when it comes over it for a 10 a month because pay-per-views alone are fucking 20 quid.
Yeah.
So it makes more sense to pay a 10 a month, have that available, as well as all the other stuff without using YouTube.
That's the thing. As long as I still get to see all the main events for UFC free, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's it. And why?
It's a really good idea for that as a sport to go down them avenue. The other thing now as well, like I was saying to Ember the other day, and I'm sure it's the same UFC, fans these days are so lucky youth-wise because wrestling-wise, when you used to watch it, if you recorded such and such, all right, I'll lend you the tape.
Yeah.
Now you can
or the horror story of... I used to watch it when I was like sort of younger, like in school and stuff. And it would be like, oh fuck, there's fucking WrestleMania on tonight. Quickly, I'll set the recorder on the VCR.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's good. All right. That's 6 hours worth of recording done. One long play taping. It's like, right, I can watch it, chuck it in. Hasn't fucking worked.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just go, oh, well, I'll just check my planner and see when it's next on.
Yeah. Fans are working at both sports. Same, you know, UFC, when that first come up, I think that was very much, can I borrow these?
Exactly. You swap tapes. You record it all off the telly late night. Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. It's it. And now, you know, you've got YouTube as an avenue. Yeah. As you say, you've got UFC Fight Pass. You now got a WWE Network. You know, football wise, match of the day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Again, you didn't have a planner. If you missed fucking match of the day and no one recorded it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see
it. I mean, you can watch it on your fucking phone.
Yeah.
Which 10-year-olds have now. And well, I didn't have a phone. Well, luckily, it was only just starting to get big when we were growing up, like having a phone. Oh, I still was one of the last people to actually get a phone. I had a fucking beeper.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
but like shit like that, just being able to sit there and watching the sports you want on your phone is—we never had none of that shit.
No, and do you know what? I think, in a way, I think that was the fun of it.
Yeah,
it was like it made you appreciate it more because it was so fucking hard.
Yeah,
like I can remember fucking like again back to wrestling like '98, Cartoon Network at 9 o'clock turned into TNT.
Yes.
So I used to watch Nitro on a Friday night as opposed to Monday. And I recorded one episode one night. I sat indoors on a Friday and I fucking sat there and recorded it. Took the advert breaks out. I must have watched that one episode fucking hundreds of times. Whereas now, as soon as the week's done, oh, I ain't seen it, I believe it.
Yeah.
Because you've got that option. And again, as fans, with that, it's great. So therefore, with this sort of easy access to everything, and you know, Twitter and Facebook now, you can actually, if you're lucky, you can have a conversation with said fighters. And,
yeah, of course.
And so with that, your company and your performers need to be squeaky clean.
And I just remember when we were little, you'd have it in the back of magazines where the superstar hotline. Or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe you could ring them up or you'd write to them. You might get average response, whether the automatic one that you sort of always get to send to everyone. Mm. But you felt like you were getting a letter back from them. You're like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah. This is the best thing ever. I've got a letter from fucking the Ultimate Warrior or something.
This is it. And it's like, as I say, I mean, you know, going back to the steroid thing, you know, these were larger than life people. And I think that's probably as well another reason why I think a lot of fans at our age have definitely gone away from WWE as a product, because they were larger than life.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of a niche to their character in the fact that you didn't know what they was like as a person. Now.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, you know, fucking, for example, you've got like a wrestler called Dolph Ziggler who calls his name is Hill Ziggler. So he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
But yet you see him take a picture of him going out shopping with his missus.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, you know, you put that to the OCW DVD with Sandman, where he played his character to the T that he didn't go out of the house, his wife done everything. You don't have that illusion anymore. These aren't larger than life people on your TV. They're just.
You get fucking rumour news popping up on your Facebook. Like you say, you follow a wrestler or fighter or something like that. You see everything that they're doing. They post these normal pictures of them doing everything. It's like, fuck's sake, you're like this.
And it makes them too accessible. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I mean, fucking social media has worked for everyone, I think. Facebook, as much as it annoys me, is a fucking great tool to keep in contact with people, even though I don't really do that anymore. truth be told, like fucking, if I didn't have Facebook, I wouldn't have gone to my mate's wedding last week in Birmingham, for example.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It has its uses. It has its overuses of, you know, fucking no makeup nominations, etc.
Yeah, well done.
And fucking, oh, I've woke up today in a bad mood. Retail therapy will sort me out or whatever. But it kind of takes away the illusion of what fighters and superstars and footballers
are. Yeah, exactly.
It takes it away because... you know, and this is why now, I think because of stuff like that, you have the whole reality TV era that we all live in.
Yeah.
Because suddenly a footballer's not interested anymore when you know that he can go and buy a fucking, he goes and does his, like, laundry and something. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, oh, well, if people like that, then we could make any nobody accessible.
I mean, this is the thing, it all works in both ways, though. Of where you can see too much, which ruins the illusion, but then sometimes you can see like bad blood just beginning. Mm. Like Twitter wars kick off all the time, especially like between fighters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they were constantly calling each other out, they want the big shots, and if they're anything, they start fucking shit, and it's really funny to see sometimes. I love it.
And you know, again, with that, obviously. It all, you know, you can all stem back to because of all these sort of avenues for people to see, to access the people they like. You know, if you're, you know, a UFC fan, for example, and you're a big fucking John Bones Jones fan.
Yeah.
he's got to make sure, whether even if he's fucking calling out someone over Twitter, that he's smart enough to not
exactly
dampen his product as a person. Yeah. You know,
you can obviously saying something completely un-PC, and it, well, he gets a lot of call outs. He does well with him. He's quite a clever bloke in terms of that sort of stuff. But yeah, he gets called out on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
end up having, like, if I'm on a night shift or whatever. Don't listen to this if you're listening to managers.
Yeah.
Actually, fuck you, Africa. Yeah. If I'm on a night shift and something starts kicking off with him, I can watch the whole conversation just unfold, and it's really exciting. Yeah. It's like, right, that's going to fucking happen now. Yeah.
I mean, this is the other thing, like, fucking, because a lot of nowadays, it's sort of like, if you watch UFC, you're likely not to watch wrestling for, you know, your right reasons. It's a soap opera. Same way, if you watch fucking wrestling, you might not watch UFC because it's, you know, fucking a lot of the act. But I think the two of them together sometimes can fucking really make the other better.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, now, obviously, I don't think they had it originally, but, like, the UFC, when it first started, as you said, like, you had people just turn up, whatever their sport was, they'd wear that attire in a cage. Now it's a bit more of a shorts, gloves look. But the videos they do before, although I believe everything they're saying is true,
it's still the hype machine.
It's going, a hype machine that they've got from wrestling. Yeah. Like, but, you know, Dana White and Vince McMahon, I think, are friends. But
they are mates, but Vince McMahon keeps on offering him a fight.
Yeah,
it's just that it would be amazing.
Frenemies is probably the best way I'd say it, because they're never going to compete with each other.
No. But completely different markets.
In another way, they do, because, you know. I think as well, like, as I say, when Lesnar went to UFC, especially, I don't think, you know, Ken Shamrock coming to WWE necessarily bought fans from that to, to wrestling.
No.
But when Lesnar went to UFC, a lot more eyes suddenly went on the UFC product, because, like, oh, fucking Lesnar was a bad man. You
exactly.
You know, see what he can do.
And then he was also a legitimate competitor.
Yeah. And
in UFC.
And, you know, the problem has stemmed from there is, you know, you've had Bobby Lashley, who thought, oh, I can go into mixed martial arts, hasn't ended up being a real deal.
No, he got his ass kicked.
Batista, oh, I'll go into it. No, you're too old and slow. Goes to movies, comes back to WWE, he's his big payday.
Yeah.
You know, Kurt Angle, I don't think will, although I think he'd do all right because of his Olympic background.
He's old.
He's old. He's just come out of rehab for drug abuse. He's just not a touchable character for UFC. Right.
He wouldn't be an exciting prospect for any company to sign, because mainly just because of his age.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have a chance to achieve anything.
And his neck problems, you know, he broke his neck 3 or 4 times now. Like, fucking hell, the bloke's not in a wheelchair, you know.
Yeah.
Testament to the bloke. But, and, you know, again, with the CM Punk guy, he could go MMA because he trained with the Gracie. It's a bit like, well, no, because as much as I appreciate the art form of wrestling, which is why I still watch it, UFC is a completely different kettle of fish. You are in that gym from 8 o'clock in the morning till fucking 5, 6 o'clock at night. You're working every day. I'm not saying you don't do that wrestling.
Yeah.
But you're doing pad work, you're doing cardio, you're doing weights, you're then doing more pad, and it's just non-stop. And then you've got 3 months to build up for the one fight.
It's one person.
And
who you know you're fighting.
Yeah.
And you know that for 3 months, and you'll be seeing a lot of them.
Yeah.
Throughout the time.
And it's a, for all the will in the world, you can take bumps in wrestling, you can learn your fucking out of fall and all that shit.
But get kicked in
the first time you get kicked in the head, punched in the head, it's going to be a shot to your system. In fact, the Shane Carwin thing, I've watched it around Snape's year, because he recorded it. And I watched it, and the thing you could tell with Lesnar, I'm not saying that he couldn't take a punch, but it was a shot to his system to be on the receiving end of a beating. And you're never going to be on that receiving end in a wrestling ring.
No.
And that's not slating any of them. I think there's a lot of them that are legitimately tough. I think the thing with Lesnar now, since he's been to UFC and come back to WWE, is he offers something that makes it worth watching, because he hasn't stepped too far away from his mixed martial arts fucking persona.
Yeah.
And he brought that to wrestling. And, you know, as someone who yourself doesn't watch wrestling anymore, I would honestly say go out and watch Lesnar Punk, because he's Paul Heyman's
dream.
It's Paul Heyman's vision put into a ring, and it's fucking great. But with the sport, you know, as I say, UFC, the video things, that's
the whole promo thing.
Yeah, of course.
They're dropping promos on each other. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, if I say this, I'll get more people. And it, you know, fair play, because that does sell tickets.
And they still give it a big metal soundtrack and all this sort of stuff.
But the moment they get in that cage, they beat the fuck out of each other. And, you know, I think the thing, I should know as well, maybe why UFC, I haven't really chased it as much, is I love the art form of wrestling, I really do. But sometimes, you know, you get a Rashad Evans, he's a really boring fighter. I don't want to watch three rounds of him.
I hate fighters that take people down and just sit on them. Mm. I hate it. But I think Rashad's actually bettered himself quite a lot now.
Oh, massively. But essentially, yeah. I think the thing is, it's the same with boxing. With boxing in UFC, to a fan who's not like you, who's adamant into it, and, you know, fair play. Because obviously I have my arguments with people who talk about wrestling that don't know about it. But you hear UFC and you hear boxing and you just want to basically see people fucking beat the granny out of each other. And if you pay for that and you don't get it, you might necessarily think, oh, it's a bit of a letdown. Well, but for you, who technically follows the sport, you know, properly, it's like, oh no, do you know what? That ground, the way they're moving and the way... It's intelligent and it's worth watching.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, the first couple of times anybody watches it, myself included, stuff will go to the floor. You'll be like, well, what the fuck is this? This makes no fucking sense to me.
Yeah.
And the more you know about it, you start to learn about it, you start listening to the commentary, you start looking at things on the internet, you start reading things, and you understand it more. You start to understand what they're trying to do, what they're going to achieve if they do that, how that will help them. You can start talking about it, like, with your mates, and be like, oh, you know, he just needs to fucking just move his arm to the left, like, put his hips on the right side of his body, and then he's got it. It's for any submission. And but the thing is, it seems to be recycling like that again.
Yeah.
I think they're getting a massive influx of new fans all of a sudden. And there's a lot of boos when it goes to the ground, like, instantly. And there's been some awesome, like, grappling fights on the ground. And some of these fans are just booing the entire thing, and it makes no sense to me.
The thing is, I'll put that down to the younger generation, because the thing is, like, in wrestling at the moment, for example, you've had fans hijacking, inverted commas, shows. So they're basically bored of the old people that have been there for too long, you know, John Cena, Randy Orton, blah, 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 blah. Who have been there too long and now being pushed at the top, and unfortunately have been in your face for so long, there's nothing new that they can do, nothing has changed about them. And the fans are now, you know, they're getting behind a fella called Daniel Bryan, who's an independent wrestler, and he's basically the internet hero.
Yeah.
And that's what they should be billing him as. They're not, whatever. And fans are basically going there. They're booing all the time. They're booing the people you're meant to like. They're cheering the people you're not. They're starting chants during matches for commentators, wrestlers. They're just so anti... It's I could agree with them, because I kind of sit in there and I think, well, do you know what? It has been the same thing for a long time.
Yeah.
The thing that keeps anything fresh is change.
Yeah.
You know, if you're watching the same main event you've seen 5 years ago, it's still the same main event you've seen 5 years ago, 5 years later. And, you know, like, half the reason Punk left was because he didn't agree with the storytelling. He thought, well, I've been here all year round.
Yeah.
And, you know, Batista's gone for 4 years, has made a film, and now you're putting him in the main event of your biggest show.
Yeah.
To sell a film. And I agree with that. And I think a lot of wrestling fans feel the same. Batista came back to be a hero.
Yeah.
And got booed so heavily, they've had to turn him a bad guy, because you just couldn't physically push him like that. And, you know, it's the same with martial arts. I think, with MMA, sorry. It's, because you have a new influx of people and fans who haven't seen the groundwork of what has started it to where it is now. As I say, you know, we talked earlier about you swap videos, you swap fucking. Yeah. You never had YouTube accessible. You know, when we had the internet originally, it was a dial-up that would take fucking four or five minutes. Then to watch anything on YouTube, you'd have to let it buffer for a fucking hour just to watch a 5 minute clip.
Yeah.
You don't have that now. You know, you have what? And the whole internet generation, I think, tries to be too smart, because they have all this access to everything, you know. They have access to the behind the scenes, the access to fucking, you know, oh, fucking, that was a good fight. I'll go on YouTube and watch it again.
Yeah, I'll just rewind this and watch it again.
Yeah.
And we need to be careful with our I mean, our videotapes. We don't want to wear them out now, do we?
Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of like, I think it's just in both sports, it's a generation of, say, rebellious teenagers who are trying to be too smart, I think, and don't appreciate what's gone in to both sports. You know, like, as though the whole WWE Network thing will open up a whole new world to younger viewers. And
yeah.
It will. And it's a great idea, and it will, you know, it's essentially turned that from a big household name or a conglomerate. WWE will be the biggest name in wrestling for fucking 50, 60 years. No one will come close to them ever again. UFC is pretty similar, I think. You've got...
Yeah, Bellator's the closest one to it.
Yeah. And, is that the one with Tito and Rampage?
Yeah.
Who TNA to try and garner some things have sort of joined with him as a company and brought him as a wrestler, and they never done anything. And it's... Yeah. Again, you can't cross over sports too well. And again, I think wrestling and mixed martial arts, they can work together, but there's only one that's pulled off being good in both. And
yeah, basically.
I don't think that will change. I don't think you can go from being a cage fighter and stick with being a wrestler because you've got used to the training regime. You're not going to want to... You get up, you're a gym junkie in a different sense, as opposed to, right, we're going to be in New York today. You're going to get up, you're going to go to the gym, you're going to eat, you're going to turn up at the arena, you're going to see whoever you're having your match with, you're going to go through what that is, you're going to go back to the hotel, eat again, come back to do the show. As a mixed martial artist, you don't want to do all of that. You don't want all
As a fucking mixed martial artist, you spend the last couple of weeks just basically eating nothing.
Yeah.
You've got to cut weight and stuff
And then the other way around, how do you go from that schedule of being in New York, the next day being in Orlando, how do you go from that to being in one place?
Same gym
for a day. It's a big change. I think the reason it worked for Lesnar as well, the other thing, he left WWE at a 27-year-old. He took up MMA as a 30-year-old. He was still young enough to peak at both sports and still have enough time, as he's done now.
Yeah.
UFC finished. I can go back to wrestling and still make money because I'm still young enough.
Yeah.
Whereas some of these other people that try it, Shamrock, by the time he came back to UFC, was a ruin.
I didn't really like him anyway.
No,
he was... he got back to UFC, he just got his fucking ass kicked, and he was a dick, and he was basically was the prime example of a steroid knob.
Yeah.
Really? He just used them like nothing else, and he was a dickhead.
Mm.
Absolute dickhead. All he wanted was the glory days. He loved watching himself. He didn't really want to help anyone. He was only out about himself, and he was just a prick all round.
That's the thing. He left WWE. I mean, this is a bit of a rumour, but I think there's probably a bit of fact to it, knowing the way his personality is. He left WWE and didn't re-sign a new contract because Vince wouldn't put the belt on him.
That's probably true. He's got such an ego about him.
And at that time, you had Steve Austin, Rock, Triple H in their prime.
Yeah.
Ken Shamrock's not in any of their three leagues, as far as the sport goes and as far as selling goes. And he still had a lot to learn. You know, like Big Show, for example, he had a documentary that I saw snippets of on Sky Sports. When he came to WWE, he expected to get to the top because he was a big guy in WCW.
Yeah.
And what he didn't realise was in WCW, he only had to do a couple of moves and get a pin. When he came to WWE, Undertaker, for example, had set a bracket of, no, this is how big man wrestles. And Big Show openly said he got injured in his first year and he could have come back after 2 months, but he was like, no, I actually need to go and
work on stuff.
Yeah. And you can respect that. And yeah, you know, Shamrock, he always come across as a bit rebellion to me, to be honest with you. Especially the I wasn't a fan of Tito Ortiz. This was when I watched UFC, but there was I think Anstey had it on DVD and he brought it around mine. Peacock Street, and it was their third fight, he'd just come back from WWE.
Yeah.
And got a title fight with Tito, and Tito, you know, he was like, well, this ain't WWF. I'm going to beat the fuck out of you. And he did.
Yeah.
And the fight got stopped after 3 rounds. And I always thought Tito Ortiz was a bit of a prick, but in that situation, it was like, well, you've tried using your brand name, you've got given a shot, and
you got fucked up.
Yeah.
They did the Ultimate Fighter together. I actually quite like Tito because of that. He came off as quite a nice guy. Shamrock, steroided dickhead.
Yeah.
Got his fucking face kicked in.
Yeah.
In the fight. They did it again. had his fucking face kicked in again.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. There's no point in him being there.
Yeah, I mean, I think as well, maybe the Ultimate Fighter, I mean, it's, I think, again, it goes to the reality TV thing. The first Ultimate Fighter I watched, because I think I still watched it at the time, and that was Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture.
Yeah, that was the first one.
And there wasn't so much bad blood between Couture and Liddell.
It was just a bit, no bad blood.
It was just professional.
It was like, okay, we do this for
the sport.
Yeah, we do this for we have to fight. Okay, we'll fight.
But then after that, all the other trainers that come and went, it was just a bit like, they were trying to add drama to it. And it was like, no, leave it to what it is. It's 16 people that want to fight.
Yeah. Help them.
Help them. That's help, all we have help to do. Help them make the sport better. And, for example, WWE had NXT, which was a complete flop, and it's now their developmental show, which is such a good idea. But then they done Tough Enough with Steve Austin, Booker T, Trish Stratus, I think, the three trainers.
Oh, the Trish.
And Austin was hard on them. And, you know, every week they'd have a wrestler come and show them this and that. But the main thing was, Austin was like, I'm going to teach you how to become a professional wrestler. I'm not going to go easy on you. You're coming here, you're getting trained.
Yeah.
And they never gave it another series because it wasn't dramatic. But what it actually... And the person that won it ended up fucking getting on the nose blow and he's not ever coming to WWE.
Fucking villain.
But it's like, you've taken that off because it's not, you know, it's not dramatic enough. But what you actually should be thinking is, oh, do you know what? You've got the biggest name who's ever been in wrestling.
Yeah.
He's teaching people how to deal with being in this sport. His podcasts are a fucking insight into, you know.
Yeah.
Again, it goes back to how lucky we are as fans. You have podcasts, you have fucking documentaries now. Never had that shit.
No, none of it. We might get a random documentary or something every once in a while, but like 4 a.m, unadvertised, you stumble across it accidentally.
Yeah.
Or just luck out on a random show.
Yeah, exactly.
Showed it.
But yeah, I mean, either way, we're sort of veering now into.
Yeah,
the sport, which isn't a problem, but you know, as I say, steroid abuse. I think the banning or the controlling of the performance enhancing stuff in UFC, I think for the sport will do wonders for it. I really do. I'm not as a big fan of UFC, but I think as a sport in general, with the access you have around any sport nowadays, as I say, with social networking, behind the scenes access, you know, the fly on the wall stuff that you have nowadays, if you're going to have them put up the front that they're accessible, you can't have a kid realising that your favourite fighter
is a steroid junkie.
Yeah. You just cannot do it. You know, from a wrestling fan point of view, a lot of people hate John Cena or our age, and I'm one bored with the character, but I can respect what he does.
Yeah.
And where Hulk Hogan was big, the reason he left WWE, he testified against Vince McMahon and admitted that he'd done steroid use. At the time, he had Hulk Hogan vitamins coming out, you know? And John Cena, you know, he's a big lad and he's strong. That's all protein shape.
Yeah.
Which is fucking unbelievable when you see how strong the fella is. Does his make-a-wish stuff. He is the ideal, this is how to be a role model.
Yeah.
And UFC... Although they're...
Well, I think the UFC still... And like, MMA in general still has a stigma attached to it that they're all, like, just brutal animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
But most of them aren't. Most of them are just really nice guys, but it's what they do for a living. It's just like boxing, you know. You have a fight, but it's left there.
Look at Stefan Bonner, for example.
Stefan Bonner, yeah. Well, he's just steroid cheating, yeah.
Oh, was he? Oh. Well, no, but I mean, as a person, like, from what you're saying, like, the whole, they're animals. When you...
Yeah.
Let's be honest, he was a nice... Forrest Griffin. No,
Forrest Griffin is one of the nicest people. Rich Franklin, really nice person by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Chuck Liddell got really fucked off when Tito got injured and he had to fight Rich Franklin. He didn't want to fight Rich Franklin because he's such a nice person. He couldn't bear punching him in the face.
Was that was Liddell's last fight, wasn't it?
He lost that. He broke Franklin's arm and then Franklin knocked him out.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I was last watching it, it was the Ultimate Fighter with Rampage and Forrest Griffin as the coaches.
Yeah.
Chuck Liddell had just lost his title to Rampage and he just had his fight with Vanderlei.
Yeah.
Which obviously It was a dream fight. Match, but I think it happened 2 years later for what it could have been.
Yeah, definitely. Again, that's also to do, again, with the drugs. Although, like, Vitor failed a drugs test over in Pride in Japan, their testing was still not as thorough as it is over in America. Which is why so many Pride people have come over into UFC where Pride's the fun. And they're failing. There's only a few people who are really achieving.
That's the thing. I mean, I never watched Pride, but obviously going to see you and Anthony when you lived in the Ash Square, Anthony would bang on about Vanderlei, you know.
Yeah.
And fair enough, that was your boy. But
you're my boy,
by the time he come to UFC, I was not that it was overhyped, but it was just a bit like, well, he's not the fighter I was expecting.
He was nowhere near the fighter.
Because, and as you say, American drug testing, Japanese, Asian drug testing is two complete.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's be honest, if you do get a chance to look at Vanderlei Silva's stuff on YouTube, he was a fucking animal in Pride.
He really was.
Yeah.
He was fucking...
But again, such a nice bloke. Thanks, mate, guys.
Thanks, mate, guys. I look pretty. And now he's calling Chael Sonnen a butt face.
Yeah, and, you know, he just comes across as such a nice bloke. But, yeah, as I say, we'll quickly wrap this up. But steroid use in UFC, for that to be policed now like it is, I think it will do the sport really great.
I'm happy that other commissions are following the example. It needs to happen. It needs to happen. Nationwide, needs to happen sport wide. If there's people applying for an MMA license, that should be just there, no matter where they're fighting. England, Sweden, fucking Africa, wherever.
Yeah.
No steroids whatsoever.
As I can say from watching the WWE as a product, since they've taken it out, it has helped the company massively. And I think it'll do the same for UFC. And, you know, as I say, because as we were talking about earlier, Pacquiao, Mayweather, the other thing as well with this sort of commissioning and, you know, policing of it, your dream matches will happen because of it, because as you say, everyone will be on that level playing field.
Yeah, finally, it won't be, tested. No, I ain't getting tested, I ain't fucking do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's still ways around it.
Oh, of course there is. There always will be. Is it, you know?
I think for most things, you get three tests a year, usually. Well, this is like for stuff like seasons. So, leagues and stuff. So, like MLS or.
Yeah.
They get tested three times a year. They can miss two.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is simply just stay at home. And, when they get a phone call, go, oh, well, I was here. I thought you said he was here, not over there where you are, where you're waiting for me to do the test.
Yeah.
You know, so then they'll be like, oh, fuck it, you don't have to do it. And they can do that twice. So they can take it all through that and then taper off just in time, which is usually the case anyway. They'll just weed themselves off so there's none floating around.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this is, you know, I won't name names, but from someone who's been locked up, who had, you know, you have drug tests, convictions. And basically it was like, well, there is ways of fitting in drug tests. You just drink pint after pint of water and you piss it all out of your system.
Obviously it depends on the type of drug you take and all that sort of stuff and how they're testing. Piss testing, you just flush it straight out.
Yeah.
Blood testing.
Bit different.
Yeah, trickier and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, there's always ways around it and they will find new ways.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is change one chemical, and suddenly it's not on the banned substances list anymore. And they can use it legally.
Yeah,
it's a strange thing.
It's very, very crazy. All right. Well, on that note, we will leave you to it, and we will speak to you all soon.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bye, 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 bye,